Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it does not have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitch, buddy, pal.
David.
Friend.
Buddy.
Pal. Acquaintance. Business partner.
Everything.
I learned something new today.
I got nothing. What?
I was gonna
guess.
You looking for something smart, Alecky?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was gonna guess and come up with something.
Mine's
smart.
Not too sharp today.
Yeah, like watch out for cops on leaving my house or something.
No. You don't fuck you. Oh, speaking of, your wife's mother took care of the ticket for me, right?
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
Guess what she charged me?
Probably a future favor.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero.
She loves doing that. Like, it's kind of easy for them to do that. And so
she
knows.
Yeah, because it's all online, like,
right.
Guilty test, you know,
well,
all that kind of crap.
Right?
Yeah, it's just money.
But,
so
she knows that she's now in the hunt for your future legal business, should you need it.
Which, let's be honest, she probably was anyway.
Right.
But,
right.
Mad props.
Yeah.
I know Stephanie doesn't listen to the show, but
no.
Thank you.
Yeah. Take a look at you. She's like, yeah, he's going to need a little future work.
Yeah.
She just knows me. She's like, that motherfucker's due.
Yeah, I've seen that guy's mouth. We're going to have to.
She's like, what's your record again?
Oh
okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
No,
exactly.
That was not my lesson learned today. I have never, in all my years of filing business taxes or personal taxes, ever had to file an extension until this year.
Okay.
And it wasn't or any business stuff. It was just my personal.
Okay.
Right? New to me. So in May, the end of May, it was either the end of May or June, whatever, they finalized my taxes, right? After
right.
they filed an extension. They sent me the deal. I owe an additional. Now listen, I had already written a big fucking check.
Right.
And they're like, you owe an additional $993.
Okay.
Is what my tax lady tells me. Okay, no big deal. Well, I just automatically assumed it's due October 15th. Because that's the extent. No. If you don't pay that when those are filed, like they calculate penalties and interest, even though you've done the extension till October 15th.
Yeah, it extends your filing deadline. It doesn't extend when you owe the money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think they must give you, and I should have asked today, but I was busy as shit. Like, is it a week? I'm sure it's a 30-day grace period. It's probably like, okay, you filed, you know this.
I think.
You have a week to send the check in. Because like
I think legally a check must be postmarked by the filing day. Even filing an extension doesn't give you extension on the money.
Okay.
It's just the filing.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So anyways, lesson learned. I'm just waiting around for the 15th. I'm to October 15th. I'm like, do.
Well,
I get a thing from the IRS last week. Yeah, it was last week. Hey, your $993 is now turned into $1,020. I'm like, okay.
$30 in
interest. Yeah, it was like $36.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't, but I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I have never had to file an extension, had no fucking clue.
Yeah.
So, lesson learned for me.
Yeah.
Last week, today, and those listening to the show.
So we talked about this on a Tradewinds.
I was I've never been so mad over $30. You know me.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
just like, fuck it. Who cares? It's $30. But like the just the
when it's the government.
Yeah, I'm just like God.
Yeah.
It's $30. Jadine's like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And I tell her, you know, everything.
It's principle.
I tell her everything. She's like, she looks at me. She goes, it's $30.
Yeah. What's
I was like,
funny?
You don't understand.
It what's funny is if you overpaid the $30. You don't get to charge them interest.
No, you have to do it for next year.
Yeah. You don't get to charge them
yeah.
interest for how long they've owed you the 30
yeah.
or, you know, the 900 or whatever.
And I don't want to get into a whole like tax implication thing and what you should be doing with your money and all. They make me so mad.
We got audited last year and then they came back and they were like, you overpaid $2,200. Here you go. I'm like, that
bitch.
Audit went the wrong way for you guys. Yeah.
I wonder how often that happens. I'm sure you could Google
know.
It and find out.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want to like make Austin do extra now, fucking work.
Well, but now all I know is that we're on the like they want their $2,200 back plus their audit expenses, right?
Oh,
because they do
that's a cost, pessimistic mindset.
No, no, I mean they seriously have a cost benefit analysis of like do. Who's it worth to audit and when do we think we're actually going to cover the value of the audit, the cost of the audit,
which should be fucking illegal.
Yeah, you would think
it should be completely random. Yeah, off of red flag software like that is. Yeah. Fucking bullshit.
So now I have no doubt that we'll probably be audited for the next few years as they're trying to recoup their 22.
Nah. So you'll be okay.
Who knows?
You'll be all right.
We stay above board with all that. But
yeah.
One of the things that I learned recently. And I do too.
But it's like, man, like out of all, what pisses me off is all of the effort spent and time spent trying to do the right thing. And then still, like they got me for another $30. I literally had to write all that money, all those checks. And they got me for another $30.
Yep.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Ah, it makes my heart hurt. Like I just.
But hey, we're a free country.
Dude, don't tell Keith Gauze that.
No.
Did you hear him on the boat that day?
Yeah.
Were you driving? I don't remember.
No, he'll be the first one to say we are absolutely not free.
Yeah, we were talking about freedom and this and that, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you think you're free, motherfucker?
Yeah.
He's like, you pay taxes. We ain't free. And I was like, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, you got to get a permit to fish.
Yeah, you know, don't get me started on that shit.
Like,
that pisses me off.
Anything that they can tax or permit, they do.
Yeah, it's like, I wonder sometimes, like, what would it be? Would it be worth it to just go against the grain and see how much you could get away with it versus what they catch you with and pay penalties on? Like, would it be a wash?
Well,
I mean, the headache alone is worth something to me.
Punishment by fine just means legal for a price.
Yeah.
Right. So like,
yeah.
Speeding.
OJ.
Right. Well, take speeding, right? Oh, you got a $400 ticket, but you still get to keep your license and your car and everything.
Yeah.
Cool. So speeding is legal as long as you can afford it.
Yeah. Well, it's the old mantra. You can get as much justice as you can afford.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right.
Like I could sue that guy, but man, do I really want to pay for it?
Right.
Do I really want to pay 20 to get 28?
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Ah, just makes me mad.
And
as
with anything in life, the system is stacked against you and they don't tell you the rules. And then it's up for you to figure out the rules along the way. Yeah. And most people figure them out by being told they're in violation of them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I am surprised by the balls of the people that work for the IRS that go to people's homes and businesses. Like, I'm going to be honest. I'm not saying like one thing or this or that, but like when you have pushed someone to the point of they have no other means to an end, and then you literally come to their business and you're like, well, let me see all your shit.
Right.
And we're shutting you down. And it's like a group of three office people with no life experience.
Right.
And the old guy that's been running a plumbing company for 25 years is like, you know what? Fuck this.
Right.
Like literally, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. Like where a guy just ends lives because he's like, fuck it. They're taking everything anyway. Yeah. I'm going to jail.
I used to know a guy that got.
You
got
to have balls to go into an office like that. Like,
he got
taking
turned.
Shit.
He got turned by this scammer. Basically, the scammer, the guy had a bunch of credit card debt. And this scammer came in and was like, for $5,000, I'll make it to where all of your debt goes away. And the guy was like, okay.
Scammed
again. So. He paid the guy $5,000 and the guy warned him just a heads up, because we're going to make all this go away. Like, go ahead and max out your credit cards. Like, it's all going to go away. So the guy maxes out his credit cards, pays the guy $5,000, and the guy like disappeared.
Oh yeah. He smoked him.
And well, it was all of these,
not smoked him, but he ghosted him.
It was kind of these like smoke and mirrors things of like it. And I don't know how you like. To me, I would hear some of the stuff this guy was saying and be like, no, that's not legit, right? It's kind of like the modern day scam now where I'm going to you have a $2,000 bill. Cool. I'm going to wire you a check for $10,000 and then you mail me a check for $8,000 back. You keep the two.
Yeah.
Well, the check that comes to me for 10 is fraudulent.
Yeah.
The check I give to him is legit.
Yeah.
So he ends up walking away with $8,000.
Yeah.
And I end up walking away, not getting paid for the job and losing $8,000.
Yeah.
Right.
I almost got scam. I was in college. Like, I obviously way less smart than I am now, but thankfully I told a banker what was happening.
You open the door, dude. You can't set the ball on the tee.
Yeah, and then you just literally teed that up and handed us a bat.
Well, college was 10 years ago.
I love you. Continue, sir.
But thankfully, I told the banker what was going on. Like, I thought I was totally legit. Like, I was excited. And the banker's like, what'd you say again? Like, he was going to do, like, Western Union. Like, this guy sent me this big check. I was trying to sell a guitar.
Oh, yeah.
And I will say on the regulation part, I've always been kind of like dogging on OSHA. But as I'm scrolling through Facebook Reels, I see some of the stupidity these guys are doing on construction sets. And I'm like, I do kind of get it at some point of why OSHA exists.
Well, yeah,
we get onto a whole nother thing.
Oversight is needed for sure. The problem is there are people literally put into places to use the little bit of oversight that's needed as a front for tons of fraudulent oversight on the back end. Prime example. You get the voters to approve $1 million budget to do something that should really cost $100,000. And next thing you know, the politician that's in charge of it is like selling the work or lining his sibling or brother or father or son up to get 10x of what something should actually cost. This should be a $100,000 job. The voters approved $1 million. So, hey, Dave, I'm now the mayor. Like, let's just play. I'm the mayor of Blue Springs.
Oh, shit. Mitch is the mayor of Blue Springs. I'm getting paid.
And so, like, hey, Dave, I need you to come in and do this millions of dollars in HVAC work to City Hall.
Yeah.
And it's really $100,000 in work.
Yeah.
But we voters have it approved into paying for it.
Yeah.
And so we have the money. And the way government works, because it's a nonprofit, they have to spend it.
Yeah.
Or they have to give it back. And then giving it back's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So they pad the pockets of all the contractors.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason that people go into the military and they come out as a contractor and now they're millionaires.
Yeah, because they're about to get paid.
Because they've learned in the military how the financial system works and the flow of finances. And so now they come out and they just grab all that government money.
Yeah. The only thing I will say, like, you're not talking necessarily about OSHA. He brought up OSHA. The only thing I will say about OSHA, if guys want to get hurt and risk their lives,
they're gonna
fuck them.
Right.
Like, it's not OSHA's job. OSHA's job is to make sure that the businesses aren't putting their employees in harm's way.
Right.
But if the job owner, if the employee is like, fuck it, I'm going to do whatever I want.
Right.
OSHA should mind their own fucking business.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, where do we get, like, when do we get to the point where it's like you can't even pee in an unwashed urinal? Like, like, where is the line of stupidity at?
Right.
Like, it's just dumb.
And of course, what I'm seeing is probably the extreme examples. It's like a guy standing on either side of a support system and he's chainsawing in the middle of his legs.
Those are not, that's average, I'd say. Yeah. I've seen some crazy shit. Dude, stuff happens daily. All over this city.
15 years ago, I was working at a company where we got ticketed by OSHA. And one of our employees, I wasn't on this job, it was actually here in Blue Springs. One of our employees put a ladder up against the building, climbed up the building. To get on the roof.
Okay.
And then while standing on the ladder, tied his ladder off
to
the building.
Excellent.
Right? And he had a rope around his waist that had his tools below him.
Okay.
And so he kneels in front of the parapet wall. The parapet wall was fairly short.
Okay.
So he kneels behind the parapet wall and drapes his hands over the parapet wall and hoists up his tools. And then he walks directly away from the edge of the parapet wall to the work zone inside the cones and the flags and everything else.
Perfect.
Harnesses weren't needed because we had 15 feet of everything, right?
Okay.
OSHA claimed that him hoisting tools with a rope by definition is work. And so he should have been tied off hoisting his tools.
That's the dumbest shit I ever heard.
You could argue it both ways, right?
Well, this is the thing. He's behind the wall.
Right.
Who gives a fuck?
Right. Well, so OSHA, it was the first violation for this company. OSHA said, you know, $1,000 fine, and you train everybody on leading edge safety, right? Being on roofs, leading edge.
Yeah.
And so they bring in this trainer. This OSHA trainer who's
they had to pay for.
Well, of course, the company had to pay for it. And obviously has a link in with OSHA because OSHA suggested him to us.
And has no actual work experience. That's the thing that makes me the most mad.
I mean, the guy was pretty legit. But essentially through the whole training, it was like,
he was like, this is dumb.
The final 10 minutes of the training taught you everything you needed to know.
Yeah.
And like, I raised my hand and I'm like, you wasted 4 hours of our entire company's time to tell us what you could have just told us in 10 minutes.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
And I got reprimanded by the company for calling that guy out in front of his own class. But I'm like, you guys just had to pay the entire company 4 hours of wages.
Yeah.
Like if I'm like, why aren't you guys more mad?
Yeah.
Like, this is dumb.
It is dumb.
It's the dumbest thing ever.
And everyone wonders why shit takes so long and costs so much money. Mm-hmm. It's because the amount of fucking red tape that everyone has thrown out in front of you that you just can't get past. It's insane to me.
Yeah.
It is literally insane. Like, this is one of the reasons, like, when I was on my own, I would bid no prevailing wage jobs.
Oh, yeah.
I would bid no commercial jobs unless it was for someone I knew and they were paying for everything. Like, dude, I don't have time or the willpower or the money to dump into this to make $50.
Mm-hmm. The mental sanity to deal
like,
with
yeah, it's
people.
Like, dude, why? No.
Right.
No. Stop. Right. It's insane, man.
Again, like, this is
and
just
it's
like
only,
my,
the worst thing is, it's getting worse. You're fine. It's getting worse. Like,
oh, yeah.
I always thought this, as guys get older, they bitch like I'm bitching now, right? Like, oh, I'm going to get out of it. There's too much. It's bullshit. And now that I'm there, I'm like, no, I think it's just, you've put in enough time and the fucking line is, the red tape is getting more and more and more that you just mentally can't handle it anymore. You're just like, I can't, not mentally can't handle it. That's the wrong statement. I mentally don't want to have to handle it to make that small amount of money.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it just doesn't make sense in your own brain anymore.
Yeah. It's
just crazy
to
me, man.
It's one of those things where it's never going to go away.
No, it's just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
Until people lose their mind and they're like, what do you mean a home cost $1.5 million and it's 1600 square feet?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We call that the end. Well, what do you want?
Ultimately, money drives the bus everywhere, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, we have a YouTube video out where we put in a sump pump, and there's this dude that got on there and started trolling us in the comments talking about how we did it. We didn't meet code. And he starts, like, I always love it whenever they copy and paste out of the code book.
Yeah.
You know, section 47, row B, column C, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah.
And they were like, according to the new 2024 electrical code, you have to have a GFCI outlet for your sump pump. And I commented back on it. I'm like, that's the dumbest thing ever, because when do you need a sump pump the most? That's during thunderstorms. What do GFCI outlets like to do during thunderstorms?
Yeah,
they
interrupt.
Trip off.
Yeah.
And so
you flooded
now
the house.
You have no pump. And he's like, I don't care why. Like, you're doing it against code. Like, you're a bad contractor. You're not following code. And
I love
I'm like,
when
hold
they,
on, jackhole. Like, every single one of these is inspected and passing.
Yeah.
Right? And then in addition to that, that's the 2024 code.
Yeah.
Most cities aren't even on that. And I guarantee you in regards to sump pumps.
We're on the 2012 IRC around here. So fuck your 20. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, well, dude, what are you fucking worried?
I guarantee you.
Do you have nothing to do?
No local municipality wants sump pumps on GFCI circuits.
Mm-mm.
Especially when the contractor is telling the customer, like, you don't want this, but they're making us do it. Like, nobody wants that. And then when their basement floods, guess who's coming after them? They're going to go after the
dude. I would
the
love
inspectors.
To sue a city.
Yeah.
Like, if I could, I should probably move. I'm in the county. But if I was in the city and, like, something like that happened, I would fucking own all. I don't care if it cost me money.
Right.
I would be like, we are taking this as far as we can fucking take it.
Yeah.
And this, and let's be honest, that's stupid on my part to think that way because, but like I said before, you know, I'm just getting older and I'm just tired of all the red tape
and
the bullshit
is,
and all that stuff. And it's like, man, one of these days,
some of it is
I'm
thinking about something that's bigger than yourself, right? Like, it's one
you're,
thing. To,
you're right. Yeah.
It's one thing to sue the city because they made you mad. It's another thing to sue the city because they're enforcing a policy that's not good for all the residents.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, we all have that obligation to stand up for what's wrong, especially in an area of our expertise where we have a chance to affect change in some way. Right.
Yeah.
So if the cities were wanting to enforce some weird code that was plumbing related and I'm a subject matter expert in that, like I'm obligated to then use my expertise to fight against that.
Yeah.
Right. It's no different than like right now it's a real quiet fight. And I'm not fighting all that hard, but like I'm having conversations with people trying to ban the sale of gas burning appliances to the general public.
Are we going to go back to this?
No, we're not going back to it, but like me as a subject matter expert, I've seen way too many explosions from people that have no fucking business.
Well, this is
messing with gas lines.
This gets back to the OSHA thing. If it's my home and I want to risk blowing my house up,
right,
that's my own goddamn business.
The problem with that, though, is it's not it doesn't affect you.
It doesn't affect anyone else. It affects me and my family.
Like,
like the EPA thing, like the refrigerant thing, right? For HVAC guys. It's because you're damaging the outside, the part that affects everyone when you release refrigerant. That's why you can't buy refrigerant at Home Depot.
Right.
If I put in a fucking water heater at my house and it blows up, it only affects, like, my family.
Maybe.
You know what? You're not blowing up a city block.
Well, you could have visitors over.
Yeah.
It could affect your neighbors, right?
Maybe.
And it also puts now, like, rescue personnel at risk.
Dude, they're there after. The house is already blown up and it's gone.
I know.
The problem is, inside of something that you're paying for and dealing with, the government shouldn't have any say.
Right.
Like, it's just... Like, and I will give you this, it's a razor's edge, right? Like,
yeah,
there are things that are in and out and in, but right. I shouldn't have to, I'll just use myself as an example. I have no plumbing licensing.
Right.
I have no gas licensing as of now.
Right.
I can put my own stove in. I can put my own water heater in. You know what I mean?
Well, and the people that always find a way will always find a way, right? If they got to, like, let's say something awesome happens in that regard and gas appliances can only be sold to licensed professionals, right? Well, guess what? You're going to know somebody that has the means to get one.
I would. But say Joe Wynn Blow, who is in the same exact position that I'm in, but is poor as shit.
Yeah.
And can't afford it or doesn't know anyone, moves out of town. He wants to do it and would be completely fine.
Yeah, hey, but you know what I mean? You can't use somebody's possible lack of finances to justify changing policy. Because
if
Joe Blow is poor as shit and he needs Freon, he can't go buy his own. So like we don't make it legal for the poor guy.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean?
Yeah. But the Freon thing is because it hurts everyone else, not Joe Blow.
Right.
So it's the same thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the exact opposite of what you just said could be true.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just because you're rich or poor or whatever, like, I can't believe I'm going to defend poor people. Like, poor people are poor a lot of the times because they're lazy, right?
Right.
But that doesn't mean that they shouldn't be able to try to lift themselves up.
No, totally.
You know, as rich people, we can't just hold them down. I'm not saying I'm rich.
Well, and there's some areas where you can lift yourself up and there's other areas where you can't. And that's why you have to make sure to lift yourself in the areas that you can, right? Again, poor guy without AC... He has to hire an HVAC guy. Has to. Now, he can probably go to the back pages and figure it out.
That's not true either. That motherfucker could go to Home Depot and get 3 window units.
He could.
Which is another thing.
Which is not the solution if you're poor.
How can you not sell HVAC equipment but can sell a window unit?
Because they're all contained.
So back in the day, they used to sell ACs that were contained. They had a Pierce on them and that was it. No valves.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Dude, they sell... They sell underground gas line at Home Depot.
Yeah, they do.
they sell corrugated stainless steel gas line at Home Depot.
Like,
that's the shit. And when I first was talking about that,
we talked about this like 8 months ago.
Yeah, some
just
naive person was like, oh yeah, it's because you're a plumber and you just want people to have to buy water heaters from you. And I'm like, no, I just said gas burning appliances. If you have an electric, like, there's nothing you're going to do to fuck up in your house or your family with an electric water heater. You wire it up right, it works. You wire it up wrong and your breaker trips. Like, you're not going to kill your family by a bad installation of an electric water heater.
But again, get back to, it's your family.
Yeah, but.
Like, where does the OSHA, this is the same thing as the OSHA talk.
Yeah.
Where does the line stop? At what point do we not have...
somebody else other than you personally. I think that's where the line for me. That's where the line stops. Like wearing a seatbelt.
Well, that could be anything. I could come over to your house and go, Mitch, you're feeding your kids too much saturated fats, and go down to your pantry and be like, this isn't just affecting you.
Yeah.
It's affecting your boys because you think it's okay to eat this junk food.
Yeah.
Like that's my point.
No, I get it.
My point is, how far can we go before it's like everyone has an OSHA member that lives with them in their home, and they're like, "This is what you can do and what you can't." You know what
that's
I mean?
It's called communism,
right? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, let's not work to that. Let's right. work away from that.
Oh no, I get it.
And if you pass this and get it passed, you and I are going to have a problem. I'm just saying, 3 years from now, if Mitch is like, well, in Missouri, now you can no longer buy blah, 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 there will be a fist fight in your front yard.
The odds of it getting passed are like insurmountable because you're battling against all of your big box stores.
Well, you're
battling against your water heater manufacturers.
And you're battling against like the fuel industry. That's who you're really battling against.
Yeah.
And they got deep pockets.
Right. So a lot of people want to immediately go political and think it has something to do with the ban of natural gas appliances. And
no, it's to do with money.
No, it's literally just a safety thing of like you need to sell your house. You can't afford a plumber to put in the water heater. So you hack one together from Home Depot and it's wrong. And the next family moves in and now they die in an explosion because you hacked together a water heater.
Well, I will say like what you should do with that. And to be honest, I think this is a thing that needs to happen, and I have for a long time. When you change something in your house, okay, you should have an inspection for it. But it shouldn't cost you money.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what we pay fucking taxes for.
Yeah.
If you are selling a home, there should be city inspectors or county inspectors that inspect it and then replace the blame from you to the city or the county inspector.
Right.
And then, you know what, so that it's safe. Like, if you wanted to, like, do that,
yeah,
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
But this whole, you got to buy a permit and get a fucking inspection and it's going to cost you $78. Why would it cost me $78? Your job as the city is to protect the people and be there for them.
Right.
Like, you want to require inspections, you pay for it.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah,
this is why I like Mitch. We can debate stuff all the time.
All day.
All day.
it's a tough gamut for sure.
It is a tough gamut. Like there's no right. The problem is there's no like right or wrong answer.
No,
it's
no. Just you got to weed through that and find a way to win given the situation.
Well, and that's the thing that we talk about all the time is no matter what, the shit's stacked against you.
Right.
It's your job to win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I literally just posted before we started this. So we just got a 1-star review on the Better Business Bureau from a guy who's...
Do people still use the BBB?
No.
Okay.
From a guy who's never used us, and he even says it in his review.
Why would he post something?
Because he thinks we overcharged his sister. We replaced all the drain lines in somebody's house, and we charged them like $6,800.
Did they approve the price first?
They were given options ahead of time. They approved the price. We did the work days later. They had plenty of time to cancel or change their mind.
Get bent, bro.
5 days after we did the work, her brother finds out what we did, and he thinks we charged her 8 times too much. Replaced all the drain lines
based
in the house.
Based on what? Did he say based on what? Based on this?
Based on his quote-unquote research. I've talked to several plumbers, and all of them said you charged 8 times too much.
See, you're so much more tactful. I don't know what you posted, but my response would be like, well, I've talked to 8 or 10 experts and they think I should beat your ass.
Yeah.
Like, I
let the guy
stupidity.
Have it on the phone. I'm like, you're not even a customer of ours. I owe you nothing. We followed all of our sales protocols. We got authorization before any work was done. There were no surprises. Everybody knew what the price was going to be before we did the work.
I didn't bait and switch them.
And she's not even upset. You're choosing to be upset as her brother.
Yeah. Fuck you, bro.
And so, yeah, I just got notified of the 1-star review on BBB. And so now I got to reach out to the BBB and be like, you're really going to allow somebody who's never used our business to leave us a 1-star review?
No, they'll probably take it down.
Hopefully. But they'll if they don't, guess what I'm going to do to the BBB? I'm going to leave their ass a 1-star review. So
I'm going to CCC you.
Yeah. But and then like,
oh my God,
in that post, we have another inspector who's choosing to inspect off of feelings instead of off of like written uniform standards. And so now,
whoa. Back up and say that again. I missed part of it.
So we install sump pumps.
Okay.
Okay.
Is this the guy you're still having trouble with?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The written uniform rule is the discharge cannot be within 15 feet of a property line.
But the property line's within 15 feet of the house.
No, no, no. In this case, we're 40 feet from the property line. But he feels...
Oh, this is a new one.
Yeah. He feels like where it is right now might cause the downhill neighbor a problem.
I feel like I should punch you in the mouth and not be in trouble. Like, that's right. The dumbest shit ever.
Well, where he screwed the pooch was... And this is
rude the pooch. I haven't heard that in a while.
he shows up to the job. The program is there. The customer is there. He walks onto the property and he was like, which plumber did this install? And they said Smedley Plumbing.
What difference does that make?
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every $10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
They said Smedley Plumbing, and he goes, oh, it'll fail. He asserted it will fail before he ever saw anything.
Do you have a witness?
Oh, yeah.
That plenty. Would back you up in court?
No.
They call that defamation of character, and you could be rich as shit if you wanted to be an asshole.
Oh, we're going there.
Ah, I like it.
Nice.
Hey, if you get paid.
So what's funny.
Can I have some money?
So what's funny is I know where this guy lives.
That's not funny.
And he has a
dude,
sump
don't
pump.
Say that on the podcast. You just write down the address and you give it to me off fucking air.
Dave
what I'm
and
saying
Austin
is.
Egg his house.
He has
I'm not taking Austin either.
He has
can't
a sump
run.
Pump that discharges within 15 feet of a property line.
Ooh.
Right. So whereas he's inspecting
douche.
Off of feelings.
Douche.
Like I've actually got you in violation of the uniformed written standard. So
let me guess, the kid's 27.
He's older than that, but he's still a big pain in the ass. So
I love it, man.
Yeah.
I just red tape, assholes. It's just I think that we're gonna move on, but I think that getting older, like what I was saying earlier, like it allows you less grace with those situations.
Right.
People and situations. And you're just like, man, fuck these goddamn bastards.
Well, some of it's less grace, but some of it's also, as a business owner, sometimes it can be hard to state your opinion, especially on social media. Andrew Powell, we had him as a guest on the show.
AP, baby. I saw his post the other day.
Yeah, so he asserted an opinion on a Facebook post, and somebody went and Facebook stalked
him. Was it his BBB issue, too?
No, oh, I can't remember what it was. I think
they went to the BBB.
Somebody Facebook stalked him. And found out that he owns State Line Door and Lift. And so then they doxed him in the comments. And they were like, you know, for being the owner of blah, 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 you got to be really careful about what you say. I know for myself, I'm never going to use your company ever again and blah, you know. And they're trying to campaign for other people not to use his business because he feels this way about this topic.
Which is which is defamation of character.
Well, it's cancel culture and everything else that's
defamation
wrong with America,
of character
right?
is a real thing. Like if you try to actually hurt someone's business and have not actually used that business, that by rule is defamation of character, and you literally are taking business away from them, and you can own their ass.
Yeah,
like I'm not.
Why?
I'm not Sue Happy.
Right.
But if I was in those situations, I would be.
Yeah, I told him that I will never let somebody leverage the possibility of their future business to my company against me having my own opinion.
Yeah.
Like, it's this wrong thing in America that when you start your own business, you now have no opinions on anything, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, my God.
Like,
we're going to get in a whole political
like
thing
you
here.
Should absolutely have opinions on everything, even though you're a business owner.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, the business owners are the ones that pay the most taxes in America, and we have the least voice.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, guess who's paying for the road you drive on, you fucks?
Right.
Like, stop.
Right. The people who own businesses and the people that employ everybody are the ones that, like, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back here, but like, if you're smart enough to own a business and you're smart enough to employ people and you're smart enough to find work coming in and you're smart enough to create systems to do that work, like, it almost feels like there should be a weighted tax or a weighted advantage when it comes to voting. Right. Because
oh my God. Yeah. Well, no, I agree with you 100%.
Because what I'm getting at is like that guy, his vote should count for more than the person who's been in and out of jail 5 or 6 times. No felonies, right? Because you can't vote if you have a felony. But you got a guy who's
is that
like
true?
Yeah, you
can. I mean, I know you can't buy a firearm.
I think you have to wait a certain amount of time, I think, after.
Yeah, it's 5 or 10 years or something.
You got the Google machine.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah. But like,
I love
like
you. Get
that
after
person, their vote should count for more than the person who is obviously not a productive member of society, right?
Oh, and I'm not
saying,
God.
And I'm not saying you should withhold voting rights from somebody based off their stature or anything else. But what I'm saying is, like, if you're a guy who owns a company that employs 150 people, then your vote should carry the weight of 150 people. You know what I mean?
This is weird. This is the first time in a long time I could go either way. Like, you can't take away some.
You don't want to take away anybody's voice.
In democracy, you can't take away one person's vote because they were born dumber.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
But because someone is born smarter, they already have an advantage. You can't multiply that advantage.
No, it's not necessarily what it is it's.
Now, I would say this, like a fair way to antiquate that, I think, would be like you can decide where your tax dollars go. I'm paying more taxes. My tax dollar amount is 10 grand versus this guy that's $100.
Right.
I should be able to spend those tax dollars where I want. Well, that would be, I think, a fair way to do it.
Well, that's where your powerful businesses move states, right? That's why Musk moved out of California and went to Texas. He's like, well, if I can't change anything that happens in the election and I can't change who's in office and my vote carries the same weight as the homeless person on the street.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to leave this state. If I can't control the voting side of things, I'm going to control where my tax dollars go. So I'm going to leave this state and I'm going to pick up shop and move to a state where I feel the tax dollars are better spent.
Yes.
Right. So, yeah, there's voting with your dollars there.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing. Yes, right. You're correct. I mean, I just.
And I'm not saying.
This is the razor's edge thing again, right? Like you could go either way with either one and make sense of both.
Right. And I'm not saying that you should deprive anybody of their ability to vote. And I'm not saying anybody's vote should count for more than anybody else's necessarily, but you have to find a way to factor in the fact that this guy has a proven track record of logically thinking through things and making a really good decision compared to this person who can't make a right decision to save their life.
Yeah.
And yet we give them both the right to vote.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know the answer. I just know that there's a problem.
Yeah. I get your point. It's very intriguing.
I've seen like proposals of like either an aptitude test where it's like you have to expound knowledge that you know, like who the candidates are or something like that before.
That's completely different, but like, I hate when people just go in there and like, well, I vote this line down.
Right.
Or I vote because if you haven't done your research, like you're wasting your vote.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got on this topic.
Yeah. Also on the felons thing, once you've fully completed your sentence, you're good to vote.
Okay. That's what I thought.
So that would be,
you could still be a convicted
and parole.
You could be a convicted felon, but once you're done, you can vote again.
It says you lose the right to vote while incarcerated or if you're convicted of misdemeanor. And then, this is for felon. You can't vote while incarcerated, on probation, or while on parole.
Yeah.
Once you've completed your full sentence.
It's all over. Then
you've served, I mean, that's one of the great things about America. Once you've served your time, like that was your punishment, you're good to go.
Right.
Like, that's one of the great things about America.
Yeah.
I will say.
Yeah.
Now, I think that people take advantage and it only works half the time, but that's another conversation for another day.
Right. So we've spent, 37 minutes talking about
real life stuff, man. That's been very important.
Real life stuff, the odds are stacked against you and nobody tells you the rules ahead of time. Let's spend the rest of this show talking about how you can advertise your company for free and where the odds...
Talk about a boomerang.
Yeah. Where the odds aren't really stacked against you, but however, nobody really tells you the rules, only we're going to tell you the rules. And that is...
You listen to us or die.
That is the use of social media. So social media is the freest way to grow your business ever.
We haven't talked about this in a long time.
And
it's probably good for
return. And it's one of the most underutilized ways people grow their business. If you want to grow an in-home service business today, you have to become a content creator. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. You can survive without creating content. But if you want to grow your business, you have to get in front of as many people as possible. And the only way to do that is to use social media or spend tens of thousands of dollars a month, which most small businesses don't have.
Yeah. Like, I think what gets people a lot of the time is like when you say content creator, they think, oh, I've got to be putting out 5-10 minute videos a week. I've got to be, you know, doing YouTube shorts. I've got to be doing this. That is the top end. That's the middle to top end of being content creator.
Yeah, we're not talking about you immediately overnight have to become the best creator of content.
No.
We're talking about, like, so many people will use that exact scenario right there, that scary, oh, I've got to be doing all this, and if I can't do it, I might as well not do anything.
And that's
and
why
then
I
they
bring
don't
it
even
up.
Make a Facebook post for 2.5 months.
Yeah, and that's why I bring it up. Like, being a content creator, as far as for your own business, isn't even that. It's really sharing who you are on social media in small video format, 15, 30 seconds, photos of what you do.
Yep.
Like, technically, Mitch is right. You're creating content, right? But that's not what people think of when they think of content creator. Sorry. I'm sorry I'm doing this. It's just, I feel dumb when I do it. But
yeah, every time you make a Facebook post, that is a piece of content.
Yeah.
You just created a piece of content, right? Now, people flip over to the term content creator. If you have Facebook and you turn on professional mode.
It's a misnomer.
Well, if you have Facebook and you turn on professional mode and you create enough content and your content is engaging enough, Facebook will actually cut you a check every month for the content that you put on that platform.
I've got to make a YouTube channel.
And
I am missing out.
Well, Facebook and YouTube are greatly different.
Austin look at me and he side-eye rolled me like, you're right,
no
you dumbass.
Am,
Facebook and YouTube are completely different. And I don't want to talk about YouTube right now because most people are nowhere near that level.
No, but when you say content creator, that's what people think of.
Yeah.
That's why I bring it up.
Yeah, no, we're talking Facebook and Instagram.
Yep.
And so
we're talking about putting yourself out there.
More so Facebook than Instagram because Facebook has local community groups and that's the best way to get the name out there for your business to help you grow. And so basically you're going to have a personal Facebook page and you're going to have a business Facebook page. And you have to understand the premise between the two. First of all, Facebook wants people to stay on the platform as long as possible. And so Facebook encourages great content. Facebook gives added exposure to great content. And so once Facebook recognizes a piece of content is really good, it'll actually choose to show it to more people than it would normally because, again, the goal is to keep people on the platform as long as possible. And if this content is keeping people engaged and on the platform, then they're going to show it to as many people as possible. And deep into their algorithms, they're tracking your eye movement. They're tracking how long you spend on a post. They're tracking how fast you flick and scroll. They can actually tell they can actually track the movement of your phone. And of course, they're always listening to you, but they can actually track the movement. And Facebook can tell if I take my phone and show the person sitting next to me what I just read.
Yeah.
Right. And so Facebook gathers all of that information and then makes a determination. Do we want to keep this post going or do we want to throttle it down?
I wish they would get better at it. I just like sometimes I'll be scrolling through stuff and I'll stop and just look over and do something. And then that's all I see. And it was something I didn't give an F about. And now all I see for 2 weeks is this. I'm like, man.
Yeah. I mean, every once in a while their algorithms mess up. So like,
yeah, they do. I wish they were better.
I was flicking through Facebook Reels yesterday before getting in the shower. And I thought I closed my phone out.
Of
and
course
I didn't.
You were.
And so I put it on the charger. I thought I closed it out and I didn't. And I get out of the shower.
Yeah.
And I go back to my phone and it's replaying a funny cat video.
Oh, shit. Well, you see cat videos for the next month?
So that's all my Facebook feed is now is funny cat videos,
I wish
videos,
it was
right?
better.
Yeah.
I wish it was better.
But outside of all of that, once you understand there's kind of three main things you have to understand about social media. One is the goal of social media is to keep you on the platform as long as possible. Two, the goal of social media is to charge businesses for exposure. Meanwhile, they'll pay people for great content.
Yeah.
Right. And so
you're a paid content creator at that point.
Yes. However, if you want your business, if you want your business to get tons of exposure, they want you to pay for that because that's advertising.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if me as an individual wants to turn on professional mode, then I can. And now Facebook will actually pay me. I got a buddy of mine that just got a $1,000 check from Facebook from content that he puts out.
Yeah.
Pays him $1,000 a month.
Yeah. Which is so weird because you told me who it was.
Yeah.
And him and I are friends and I hardly see any of it.
I'll forward you the post that he did. It's not even all that like,
no, it's
you'd read it and you'd be like, wow, but it's been shared. Like, well, let me look it up.
I only bring that up because like him and I are friends. He spoke at our event. I like what he's doing, yet somehow I'm not seeing his content. You know what I mean? That's what I was saying earlier about the right. algorithms being messed up and when you're getting paid from Facebook, like I don't want to open up a whole nother conversation, but like when you're getting paid from Facebook, but it's based on algorithms that are incorrect, that drives me a little crazy.
No, the algorithms are fine.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information in a one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is FieldPulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using FieldPulse. So if you'd like to check out FieldPulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
I'm seeing shit that I don't want to see. Half of the time, I'm seeing shit I don't want to see, and it's constant.
Right. Now,
but those people are probably getting paid or are paying.
No.
For me to see those.
No. What it is you've confused the algorithm. There's a lot of people that see stuff they don't want to see, but they can't not read it when they see it. And so by you spending time on it, reading it, or by you going, see, this is one of those bullshit posts that I don't want to see, like Facebook, you're teaching the algorithm.
I know. That's what I'm saying. The algorithm is not learning well. I have been getting Axis is the only brand I can think of, but it's ear protection for rifles and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I have no interest in buying
you
any.
You know, you can click on the three dots on the right
and say,
don't show me this anymore.
Why am I still seeing it? I'm not stopping at it ever.
Right.
But they're on there constantly.
It'll go away. It's no different
than
like
a month.
I went and looked at shoes online and now I get tons of shoe ads from every fucking shoe company ever. Right.
That's my point though. You don't want to keep seeing those ads, but they keep coming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then they're paying based off of that. That's my point.
Yeah.
It's not as correct as I think it should be.
Well,
it'll
never
that?
Be perfect because we're always evolving.
I know,
right?
But it's not close. It's
also,
not even close.
Right.
I want to get psychological, but there's also the thing that we tell ourselves we don't want, but it's like there's your actual human action and what you tell people. Like, I don't mean, I'm not sure that, but like, but it's like your behavior shows it.
It's no different than whenever somebody says, I don't like drama.
Yeah.
But yet the results is all they do is toil and drama.
They'll
say, I don't like it. But it's like, no, you don't like it without it.
If Facebook wanted to make money, they'd fucking show gun ads.
So on August 26th, Brandon Copeland made a post about the changes that are coming in the HVAC industry.
Spin it around. Let me see.
Okay. It's just talking about R410A and R134.
Oh, yeah,
and all this
stuff,
they're
getting rid of 410A.
And he's got a picture of a nicely installed air conditioner.
It's in a manor.
Okay.
Yeah, nice.
It's been shared 12,500 times. It has 4,300 comments, and it has 6,700 reactions.
It's probably a well-worded post about this whole 410 bullshit.
It is. I'm saying...
So dumb.
That post earned him $1,000 from Facebook.
That one post?
That one post.
Or all the other posts,
no,
and then
break
he had
it down.
That.
It'll break it down.
How is he getting $1,000 for that? How many people... Read to me again.
For one, the post takes...
Read to me again what it how many comments and shares and all that bullshit.
Hold on.
Yeah, I'm going to make you open it back up. Yeah, I'm going to pull you down on the carpet.
Like, people also can capitalize on kind of new events, like right now the astronauts.
Hold on. No, I don't want to get on another
team. You found it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the post is, let's call it 7 inches long on your phone. Get your mind out of the gutter.
Okay,
I'm just
continue,
saying.
Continue, sir.
So it probably takes you 3 minutes to read that.
Okay.
Now, it's written in a way that people read the entire thing.
Okay.
So you're teaching the algorithm.
Okay.
This is keeping people on the platform. And then as it gets shared and as it gets reacted with, the platform now understands people like it.
How many shares did it get?
12,500 shares.
That's why he got paid.
Right.
That's
and 6,700 reactions and 43 comments.
That's a lot.
Every time somebody makes a comment, they're on the platform longer because they have to type it out.
How many?
Right? So
how many shares?
There's no rhyme or reason to it. You could have 1,000.
That's my point. Like
you could have 12,000 shares and not get paid shit. Because if it's a 4-word post that's easy for somebody to share and scroll on, you didn't actually help keep people on the platform longer.
So it's, and I'm not debating on whether. Hold on.
You're wanting to hang up on, you're trying to understand the algorithm to understand post to dollars. And I don't want to talk that at all. I do want to talk about that. But that's not why people are listening to this show. They're not listening to the show to become content creators. They're listening to the show to grow their home service business.
I agree with that, but there's nothing wrong with being able to have a piece of information and then run with it because we've maybe figured something out.
Well,
the problem is this is like the I can't figure it out problem. I figured it out. I'm not getting paid. I've done it. I'm not getting paid. How do we or how do people that are creating content get paid?
So focus less on getting paid. Most content creators don't make most of their money off create, like Brandon Copeland. He owns a $6 million heating and cooling company. Do you think he gives a flying fuck about the $1,000 Facebook paid him 1 month? No.
No, but we're not talking about Brandon. We're talking about guys with no money.
Right. What I'm saying is if you do the content to just get your content creation money, you will never ever make it out alive. You have to do the content to gain customers and clients in your main core business, and that's how you make money on social media content. The money that YouTube pays us, like Smedley Plumbing as a YouTube channel, right? The money they pay us pales in comparison to the added search engine optimization and the added visual exposure to all of the other clients that we've had over the years.
I agree with that 100%. Right. 110 fucking percent. My question is, how do we get people to create ads like that that are engaging?
It's
the money's a misnomer.
Well,
okay?
And that's not even an ad.
Say he didn't get paid.
Right.
How do we teach people to get that type of content?
Well, if you'll let me continue, I'm going to tell people.
Do you have one of those in your bank where they wrote you a check?
No, because for some unexplainable reason, I am not allowed to have professional mode on my Facebook.
That's my point.
I need to turn mine on.
My point is not that we aren't or capable of creating great content. It's how do we understand and manipulate social media to get there? Well, Brandon, when he fucking posted that, did not think I'm going to get $1,000.
No.
I've seen posts that are just as detailed in their industry as that,
mm-hmm.
or better. And people aren't, they're not getting paid.
The goal is not to get paid from Facebook. The goal is to blow up your home service business.
Mitch, because regardless of whether he got paid or not, that got shared and read
right.
a gabillion times. Okay.
Right.
And he got money from that.
Right.
Okay. I don't mean the $1,000.
Right.
I mean, what caused that to go off regardless of money?
You'll never know.
That's the problem.
And
with social media.
It's not a problem. You'll never know because the algorithm is constantly changing and the algorithm is different on Facebook, on TikTok, on Instagram, on YouTube.
We're talking about Facebook. We're talking about Facebook.
For me to answer your question, I need more than five. What I'm saying
that's my
is,
point. There is no answer.
No, the answer is don't focus on the money. Focus on putting content out there. Most people will look at Brandon Copeland's post and say, well, I can't get a post that'll get shared 12,000 times, so I won't do anything. And that's the wrong answer. The right answer is make a post every day on your personal social media channel, your personal Facebook, every day. You're going to make a post tomorrow and it's going to get 3 likes. Do not let that distract you from making more posts. You're going to make a post the next day and it gets 400 likes. Don't let that distract you into thinking, oh, I figured out the algorithms, right? Because you make a similar post the next day and it gets 4 likes. There are so many wildly different factors as to what makes a post pop off and what doesn't. And ultimately, a post that pops off doesn't mean a hill of beans in the grand scheme of things. What does make a difference is how diligent you are to posting content continuously every day, sticking to the process every day. That's where you get more mileage than anything else. In other words, it may take you 1,000 posts to get one that has 1,000 shares. You'll go bankrupt before you ever get to your 1,000th post, right? So the goal is not to get 1,000 shares. The goal is to get engaging. The goal is to get highly engaged people reacting to your post that then shop with your business personally, right? So you...
We're talking locally.
Yes, right. And that's the other thing about viral. Like, we've had several viral posts. We've had several reels that have millions of views. That doesn't mean a hill of beans for anything. Because if I make a video that has 1 million views, is my schedule full tomorrow in my company? Are my guys happy? Is my bank account flush with cash? Like, none of that matters, right? And so 1 million views, I would rather take 1,000 views from the right people at the right time than 1 million views of just views, right? And so when you're dealing with a home service business, your posts need to be with the home service customer in mind, right? And ultimately, his post was.
Yeah, like, it was.
Like, it's kind of one of those things where a square is a rectangle, but a rectangle is not a square. Like, his post checks all the boxes of a, like, once you see how the post is written and it's engaging and it's got, you know, it's long, it's written well, it's spaced out well, so it's easier to read. It's about a divisive topic that keeps people engaged and forces people to interact and all of that stuff. Like, okay, it checks all the boxes, but now it's just up to fate if it goes viral or not. And so but ultimately 12,500 shares, I guarantee you less than 1% of those shares are in his demographic.
Oh yeah, probably less than that.
Right.
It's probably less.
And so he doesn't really care that people in, you know, Winnipeg saw it. He doesn't care that people in Sacramento saw that post. It's he does that post for people in his home local service market to now view him as a more established business person that knows what they're talking about, and they're more comfortable shopping with him. That's the perks of social media. So, like, for example, we have 15,000 subscribers on YouTube. Less than 1% of those are in our local market. So I don't do YouTube to necessarily sell plumbing to our local market. I use YouTube to establish our company as like a brand ambassador and a highly sought after professional in the industry, so that if people in our local market see our YouTube performance, they're more comfortable using us. Because we look, if we can have that many popular videos on YouTube and everything else, we look a lot better than Skeeter's Plumbing down the street, who has nowhere near as many 5 stars and nowhere near as much brand power, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm in debate mode, so I'm going to ask you a question.
Yep.
You bring up Brandon. He got paid $1,000 for that post, right?
Right.
Okay, which doesn't matter. Okay. It's more important that it got shared, got him notoriety, all of that stuff. But notoriety in his town is 1%,
right,
of whatever it is, right? How do you antiquate that post being successful but it still being successful for him in his local market?
So,
you know what I mean? Like when you say, okay, well, that makes him a professional in his field.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but a limited number of those people in his market saw that.
Yeah.
How does he take that and then turn that into dollars in his local market?
Because people love to Facebook stalk people that are also engaged in other channels, right? So yeah. like there are a lot of people that will try to get into an online debate with me, and then they go and look at my personal social media. And they're like, okay, wow, he's a business owner. He just celebrated 1,000 Google reviews. He's just celebrated a big milestone. Like, this guy obviously knows what he's talking about. And so when somebody goes to the personal side of like fact checking their person.
So you mean and I'm asking these questions for the people listening.
Yes.
So like you're saying that people in his local market will then Facebook stalk him or just check up to see if he's legit, and then may come across that post and say, look at how many people are engaged on this. It's thought out. It's correct.
Right.
And then he's building trust in his own community because of that?
Right.
Is that what you mean by all that?
That's part of what I mean, but also that performance on his personal channel says that he could copy and paste that word for word and use the picture, and he could take that exact same thing and go put it in his local community pages and repost the exact same thing in his community pages. He already has social proof that the algorithms like the post and society likes the post. And so now he can take that and go into his local community pages where he can actually grab work from people locally, and he can make that same post again. Hey, this is Brandon with Copeland Home Services.
Like if he was going to do it on the Blue Springs community page.
We have all of these changes coming up. I'm just letting you know of these changes, and HVAC systems are only going to get more expensive. Here's all the changes, and here's why buying today is more important than buying in 5 years. Because in 5 years, you might not be able to afford an air conditioner. Right?
It's an R22 talk all over again.
But what I'm saying is, like, that's how you leverage it. But ultimately, what we're
getting... And that's why I was bringing that up.
Yeah, what we're getting at with all of this is most people do Facebook wrong. Most people think that people... Like, let's say, okay, so I'm a plumber. The wrong way for me to do Facebook is to write this really cool expose on the benefits of how a water softener exchanges the ions from a hard water ion to a soft water ion through an ion exchange. Like nobody already wants
soft water.
Well, what I'm saying is nobody goes to social media hoping for a really cool write-up on toilets, right? They go to social media to check out from reality and to be entertained. And so you have to find ways to entertain social media people.
Said the guy with the coolest toilet video on YouTube.
It's entertaining.
Because it's entertaining.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. We didn't, you know, like you didn't, like a water heater video is it, entertaining.
You didn't take it to the point of
we didn't go over
analytical,
the top scientific.
You went fun.
Yeah. Yeah. While still, we went fun while keeping it entertaining, while still showing
fun is
a lesson.
Yeah.
Right. And like we have another water heater video where we compared box store water heaters to pro grade water heaters. And we're getting blown up in the comments of like, we should have sent the metal samples off to a metallurgist and had them examine which metal
people,
is stronger.
Those
and,
people got no too much time and not enough work
right.
to do.
We kept it entertaining. We did Losers. Not go over technical, right?
Yeah.
But ultimately what I'm getting at is you'll get more mileage on social media from your personal page than your business page, because Facebook wants to charge your business for exposure while they'll pay you for exposure on your personal page.
Well, and we talk about this all the time in Tradewinds, right? Like if people don't know, like, and trust you, you're not getting sales, right? How do you build that up before you get there?
Hold on. What's the first? Would you say exactly what you just said again?
Know, like, and trust.
What's the first one?
No.
No. Right?
K-N-O-W, not N-O.
How can they shop with somebody they don't know exists?
That's my point.
Right?
If you would just let me finish talk, then you would No, what I'm saying what we tell them is the same thing we're telling everyone here on the Void Podcast. If you can create know, like, and trust
right.
through your personal Facebook page, not your business Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
you're going to make a sale 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
Okay. They're calling you because they know you. You're in their community.
Yeah.
That's what Mitch is really talking about here.
Right. Right. As you're creating content, you're not trying to explain the drawback features and benefits of a water heater, features and benefits of a water softener, or, you know, this toilet uses 1.6 gallons of water per flush.
I wish we'd go back to threes.
Like what
I love those things.
Like, you could have two parallel posts, and one goes crazy feature related, right? Appeals to all the engineers. Oh, we've got this patented glazing on our trapway, and we use 1.59 gallons of water instead of 1.61. Right. And
I think if you go 1.64, it still counts as 1.6.
I don't know. Or
I don't either.
Or could literally take a quick video of you putting chocolate sauce in a toilet and then flushing it and being like, do you want your mess cleaned up like that was just cleaned off this toilet? Then you need to call us. And I guarantee you the chocolate...
You just grossed me out.
Well, the chocolate sauce video is going to get a lot more mileage
of course
than
it
the
is.
Boring factoids, right? Nobody goes to social media for boring factoids. They want to be entertained. So find a way to deliver the message in an entertaining way and not in a boring factoid way.
Informational posts that are entertaining are the key.
Yes.
Like, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Like, if you can learn a little something and it grasps your attention but entertains you so you don't want to kill yourself because you're having a tough day, like, those posts get the most traction.
So, and we take this, like, Inside Tradewinds, we take this real seriously. We had a guy that we actually removed from the program because his first month in the program, he was griping about not getting very much work. And so... we're on our private coaching call with them. I log into Facebook and I'm like, dude, you haven't made a Facebook post in 3 months and your business hadn't made a Facebook post in like 5 months.
Yeah.
Like, and here you are wanting to know what ad agencies to spend money with. And I'm like, dude, don't spend money. Start posting on social media and then watch things begin to change.
Yeah.
Very next month, during his next month's coaching call, the same exact complaints about not enough work, his schedule's empty, his guys are sitting at home, and he still hasn't made a single Facebook post.
Yep.
He made it one more meeting and three meetings in a row where he has not made a single Facebook post. And we were like, you're not taking our advice. You're literally asking us to spend more money on marketing instead of just doing the work for free. Get out of here. And we booted him.
Yeah, like you can't.
And it's that important.
It drives me insane, man. Like you, even if someone was to go out and spend a ton of money with a marketing agency, right? And then someone goes to verify them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm going to go check out their business Facebook page, which we talk about Google and Facebook all the time, but Google's dying. People are going to local Facebook pages. People are going to their localities to check who's legit, right? You're spending X amount of dollars with a marketing company, and then someone goes to see if you're legit.
Right.
On your Facebook business page, and you haven't posted in 3 years, they're not gonna fucking hire you.
Right?
They think you're abstained from working.
Right. Right.
Oh, this guy isn't even doing any work. These must be old ads.
Right.
That's what people think.
Yeah, and
it's true.
Don't let a marketing agency run your social media. Marketing agencies don't give two shits about your social media. They do give two shits about their revenue. Okay. So if you have a marketing agency that's wanting to sell you all the works, the Google LSA, the pay-per-click, the website, the SEO, the social media, the everything, they care more about growing their business than they do yours.
Yeah.
And so
they're looking for dollar amounts every month.
Yeah. And we've seen this firsthand.
We're about to talk about.
Yeah.
I won't say who they are.
We're not going to say who it is because I don't want to badmouth the marketing agency themselves. Their work isn't atrocious. I just don't like how much they're charging their clients. They should have a little bit more. They should look out for their clients a little bit better in this. But we have a client in Tradewinds.
More than one.
We have more than one that are using this certain marketing agency. And this one client, his monthly revenue was about 40 or 50 grand a month. And he was spending over 10 grand a month.
He was spending 17.5.
Yeah. $17,000 a month with a marketing agency.
He was almost 50% marketing.
They couldn't get him more leads than just one truck could run.
And he... Like, let's be honest, he was like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Like, how am I supposed to make it when I'm spending this much?
We got him squared away, and one of the first things we stripped away from the marketing agency was, like, their social media posts suck.
PPC and their social media.
Their social media posts are boring-ass factoids that nobody wants to read, and they're scrolling right by. And so we coached him how to make posts. And we'll give you guys the exact same game on the show.
He's okay with us talking about this.
No, we're not saying ask who he is.
Him. No, but
we coached him how to make posts.
I like
him. And all we said was, you're already doing the job every day. So when you show up to a job, you take a quick selfie video or a quick picture, a selfie picture, something, and you say, here we are getting ready to replace a couple of water heaters, or here we are getting ready to replace a sewer, or whatever. And you basically remind your following that you do this every day, day in and day out.
Yeah.
Your following doesn't want factoids. They want to see what you do. Like, there's a reason why my 600-pound life is so, like, that show.
Oh,
the TV show.
Dude, I thought you said 600-pound wife, and
no,
she's not.
The show, My 600-pound Life.
Okay, I totally heard that the wrong way.
People are more interested in your life than you are. So show them your life. Don't show them boring-ass factoids. Like, show them what you do day in and day out at work.
You think people are interested in what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't go to Facebook to hear someone be like, my wife is so close to meeting her quota. She needs more and more sales. Please help her out. Like,
I feel like my life's boring.
But what I'm saying is, like, so we coached this guy in Tradewinds on how to make a Facebook post. Previous to that, the previous 10 Facebook posts by his marketing agency had a 10 posts had a total of 30 reactions.
Yeah.
Okay. He made one post the next morning and it already had more than 30 reactions in under 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it's because he showed real instead of factoid bullshit.
Yeah.
Right.
He showed who he was.
Right. Nobody cares about how many BTUs the water heater is that you're putting in.
Is that a 65?
Right.
Is that a 65,000?
Now, what they do want to see is a before and after photo from that old crusty, rusty thing that was leaking on the floor to the new one that's all shiny and got your sticker on it. Right. Yeah. And you standing by it with a smile or your customer standing by.
Yeah.
They do want to see you petting a dog. Right.
I'm tired of watching you pet dogs, but you're correct. I'm talking about the other guys. Yeah. I've seen you pet dogs for 4 years. I'm out.
but that's
a lot of dogs.
That's how you capture attention on social media.
It's being real. It's being yourself.
You can't demand it. Like so many people will be like, well, nobody likes my post. I guess the algorithm's against me. Anytime you want to complain about the algorithm, I learned this from Austin. Anytime you want to complain about the algorithm, replace the word algorithm with follower or viewer. It's not the algorithm didn't like that post. It's your followers didn't like that post. It's your viewers didn't like that post. And it's very true.
Austin with the fist pump.
I won't say who I stole it from.
Yeah.
It's Austin original content.
But what I'm saying is like, if you're having a hard time getting the engagement you're looking for, make better posts. And I can't tell, like, I can't blanket tell you how to make a better post other than understand that the platform wants people to stay on there longer. So if you have posts that are designed to keep people on the platform longer, they'll do better. Long form content is there for a reason.
Yeah.
And if you're going to make long form content where you're going to tell a story, when you're doing that, make sure you space every paragraph with a whole line in between them. It helps break it up. It helps the viewer lose track of where they were in the run on paragraph. Right. Also,
that is an interesting tidbit.
Yeah. Also, studies have, like, the phones have been tracking your eye movement forever. All of your paragraphs, if your paragraphs tend to taper where the top line is the longest and every line under that gets a little shorter, you'll actually get more watch time than if your lines actually get longer through the paragraph. And so this is like kind of...
That's next level.
I don't want to say next level, but it is.
It is next level.
You've got to start moving words around and changing words and like get your thesaurus out so that you can taper your lines a little bit. That is next level, right?
I don't think anyone's ever used the word thesaurus on this show. Yeah.
A good guideline I've seen is relevant, relatable, and shareable. I like using those three to go.
Right. Well, the problem is people think they themselves understand what's relevant, relatable, and shareable, right? I would share this exposé on water softeners.
Well, you also have to
A plumber and you also love it.
Well, it's also a target audience. So you have to know your target audience first.
Right.
Yeah. If your target audience is engineers, it's going to be like, well, this toilet has.
Right.
What Mitch is saying is you are not your target audience.
Right. Like your target audience is stay at home wives or stay at home parents that are running their house. Right. Like, let's just be honest. The most common setup in a household is the husband's either away at work or working from home, but the husband's focused on work and the wife is focused on running the house. So who do you think makes the decision whenever it comes time to buy a new water heater? The wife. And the husband's going to go, yeah, whoever you trust, we're going to use.
Well, you know what I mean? Let's be honest, even if it's opposite of that, the guy is smart enough to know that, hey, I'm going to get this price and I'm going to talk about it with my wife.
Right.
Even if she's the one working or if you're both working,
right.
Like if both of you are bringing in money, they're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
And that wife is going to have a lot of say. So her opinion is weighted.
Yes.
Like that's a good way to say it. Like it doesn't, this is so weird. Like at my house, it's not that way. Janine, I'm in the construction industry, right?
Right.
And so what we were saying earlier, like what I want to do goes, right?
Right.
But that's the outlier.
Right.
That's not what it is. Like that's the whole thing of my opinion doesn't matter with my posts, right?
Right. Right.
I'm not trying to get myself satisfied. I'm trying to
gain customers.
Gain customers.
Right.
Yeah.
Like there's a reason the pharmaceutical industry has like totally centered in on and pegged like people smiling on a beach with brand new clothes and perfect weather.
Xanax, baby.
Right?
Always on the beach with a dog.
Always on a beach.
Playing volleyball.
And the reason is because they know that that's the dream vacation for women.
Yeah.
Like, guys don't want to go chalk up on a beach and kick their feet up and not do shit. No. At least not for weeks on end.
No, we want to leave. We want to leave her fucking ass there and go fishing.
Right. We want to go do activities.
We want to do shit.
And so the pharmaceutical, like, take a lesson from the pharmaceutical industry. What the fuck does walking on a beach have to do with Viagra or any or any, you know, creams or anything, right? Like,
I'm okay. I thought that was a weird thing that you went, but you're right. Like, my wife, dude, if you told her you can go sit on the beach and read a book in the shade, so it's just like at home. It's other than the ocean and the sand.
Yeah.
Dude, she would take that 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
Like, if you asked me that, I was like, okay.
We'll go on vacation and Daniel will nap on the beach. And I'm like, you could sleep anywhere. Why are you wasting time sleeping here?
I don't get it, man.
I don't know either.
I don't get it. But you know what?
They have pegged their target audience.
Yeah, they know.
Right.
They know.
And so, like, you have to do the same thing with your social media. You can't assume people are in, like, plumbing is boring as fuck. Like, nobody...
All the trades are boring, dude.
All the trades are.
They're boring as fuck.
Plumbing
no one cares.
Especially. Like you could be a furniture craftsman, and that's a little different, right?
No,
because
it's
what
boring
you sell
as
is sexy.
Fuck, too.
But, like, nobody logs into Facebook thinking, man, I hope I got a really cool write-up in my feed about toilets.
Right? I mean, I will say this. At least plumbing is entertaining. Like, when a guy gets smashed in the face with a bunch of shit water, like, people will at least laugh.
Well, okay.
Like, the most unsexy is heating and cooling. There's a guy standing next to an AC with a set of gauge. Like, there's nothing exciting happens in the AC industry.
Right. Like, you could write up, like, what's the best maintenance practices for your mainline sewer, and that post will get 2 likes, and one of them will be your mom. I guarantee it. Or...
My mom's dead.
Well, my mom.
I'm just joking.
But, or...
When your mom's dead, you can make those jokes.
You could make a post showing the new guy who made a mistake, and now he's got shit all over his shirt.
Yeah.
And you take a photo of it, and you'd be like, hazards of the job, but this is why we recommend that you maintain your sewer. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you the latter of those two posts will get 1,000 times more reactions than the former. And the reason why is because people want to be entertained. So make your crap entertaining.
I saw one the other day. And I've seen this post before, but someone had turned it. It was an electrician that said, what happens when your deer gets electrocuted for doing the wrong work? And it was a deer that had been struck by lightning.
Yeah.
And I've seen it a bunch, but it... like, had 28,000 shares.
Yeah.
Like, because it was entertaining. Like, oh, dude, that bitch got barbecued.
Yeah.
But, like, that's it. It's interesting.
Right.
It holds, how do I say this? It holds attention.
Yeah. Now.
Even if it's for 3 seconds.
The general makeup that I suggest people do is to make 1 Facebook post a day on your personal page and make 3 Facebook posts per week on your business page.
Yeah.
And you can mix it up. You can dice it up. You can try video stuff. You can try photos. You can try just words
whatever. That's 7 to 3 for all you mathematicians out there a week.
Yeah. 7 posts on your personal page, 3 posts on your business page. That's now 10
that's your
posts
weekly,
a week.
That's your weekly goal.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
that's what we teach in TradeWinds.
And as you learn, like it's back in the core episodes where we talk about evaluate performance, make adjustments, and improve. You're going to evaluate the performance of your social media posts. You're going to make adjustments and you're going to improve. You can't just throw 7 shitty posts out there and be like, well, it didn't work, right? You got to throw posts out there at several different times throughout the day. And you got to learn what's the best time for you to make posts. When is your target audience watching?
Yeah.
Like, I've done this where I've made a post at 6 in the morning and I've made an incredibly similar post at like 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And the one at 6 in the morning does way better than the one at 8 o'clock at night, right? You'll catch another little bump around the lunch hour, but you want to get most of your posts done in the morning because that's when people are eating breakfast, scrolling, trying to avoid going to work. They're sitting in traffic, you know, whatever.
Trying to avoid going to work.
Yeah.
That's gold.
Whatever the case may be, right? But if you make a post at 9 in the morning, it's not going to get very much traction because people are already busy at work.
Yeah.
Right? You make a post at 10 in the morning, same thing. Now, around the lunch hour, you're going to catch them there. 3 or 4 in the afternoon is another decent time because people are either off work or they're mentally checked out of work and they're scrolling. So
yeah,
like that's
trying
another
to kill that
okay
brain for
time.
A little bit. Yeah.
But ultimately with social media, so that's on your personal pages and on your business pages. The other thing that you want to do is you want to get really involved in the local community groups. Yeah, I know that clock died.
That clock died, man.
You want to get really involved in the local community groups around you, and you want to be really engaged on there as well. And again, people can't shop with people they don't know exist. And if you don't have the money to spend and get big advertising agencies to get you billboards and TV commercials and everything else, well, how else are you going to get people to know you exist? You're going to make posts on community pages and your personal page. And those posts are going to be entertaining. And they're going to be like, wow, I really like this guy. He finds a way to have fun, even though his guy just got covered in shit, or he's covered in shit. Uh-oh. Right. And so like, plumbers. That's going to be the guy that I want working on my plumbing. Or, you know, this guy does so much for the community, I want to take care of his business, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
It's stuff like that that people fall in love with.
What's crazy is, we talked about it earlier, the know, like, and trust. The know part of that, even if it's just through social media, through two posts that they've seen.
Right.
You have a leg up immediately.
Yeah.
They're going to call.
They already feel like.
That's the first time you've opened a can on the show in like 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, they automatically feel like they're a part of your group.
Mm-hmm.
They just do. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to make a sale, but you're going to get the call.
You're going to make an impression.
You're going to get the call.
Yeah.
Because they feel like they know who you are.
So another.
This sounds so dumb and so simple, but it's so true.
Well, and like another way that I make an impact on the local groups is, you'll see people that are like, I don't have very much money. I'm trying to fix my toilet. Can somebody tell me what's wrong? And that's not the post to pimp your business, right?
No, probably not.
Because chances are that person's not going to pay your business wages. But you'll see other businesses like, call us, call us, call us, call us, call us. And I'll get on there and I'll be like, what you need to do is you need to do this, do that, go to Home Depot. I'll even put a picture of what they need to buy or whatever. Put this on there. If you have any other problems, shoot me a message. I'll walk you through it. Right there, I just gained tons. I answered the person's question.
You got no like and trust in right. that post.
And that person that made the original post in the community page is probably never going to pay for an official plumber to come into their house, right? However, there are a bunch of people 50%. Reading that post that would never try to attempt plumbing on their own, where I just gained their visibility and their know, like, and trust.
You got their trust, right? For sure.
Because if I'm willing to give that free advice away for that person that needs it, then I it's obvious that yeah. I'm passionate about what I do.
Well,
right?
Because what happened is you didn't try to sell a person, but someone saw that you weren't trying to sell and be helpful.
Right.
That is what creates trust.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
If you're in an area, if you're a plumber and you're in an area where pipes freeze, the classic thing is you share a little infographic that you've robbed and copied somebody else's
Open
logo.
Open your cabinet doors when right. it's cold out.
And so
stop.
You're going to go do that. You post it on your business page and it gets no exposure because nobody's...
Saw it coming.
It gets no exposure because nobody wants to follow your business page. However, yeah. if you do it on your personal page... Uh-oh.
Hey, we're trying to have a fucking show here.
The wife just walked in and grabbed
Danielle
my phone off
Danielle acts like
desk.
We're just playing business in here. Yeah. God damn it. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I need this code that's on his phone and he's ignoring me. And ooh. Oh, it's
because I'm working.
Then just take the phone. Goodbye. You know, it's hard. Man, it's just, are we gonna cut this out?
No.
Are we just going to go with it?
Yeah,
okay.
We're rolling with it.
Says that kid is coming to our house with a bunch of other kids, so he wants to make sure that we're home. And I said yes.
Oh, I'll be ready.
I said I'm home. He said dad too. I said yep, and David.
Yeah, we got a.
Oh, I like where this is going. Yeah,
my middle schooler's got a kid that's trying to.
It's been 3 days.
He's got a kid that's.
He's
trying
been
to
in middle school for 3 days. No, yeah. He was in middle school last year. I'm yeah. sorry. He's a year older than Layla. I get that. Fucked up
He's
all the time.
Got a kid that's wanting to beat him up, so we'll see how that handles. Yeah. But anyway,
I'm ready. For those of you that, man, should I say this?
No, we can't afford any more distractions.
No, we can't, Mitch. No one. I will say this: out of all the bitching we've ever had on YouTube videos, Spotify, no one has ever said your podcasts are too long.
True. This is true.
No one has ever said that.
This is true.
No one has ever said
they,
that.
They could be longer.
So those of you that are watching YouTube, which the full episodes are going to be back on, if they're not, I'm going to hit Mitch with the wrench that I'm holding now. This is for the little shitheads coming up
your house.
We better be. Are we?
No.
So
We've just been doing 10-minute segments.
We're about to be back on them.
Yeah. So, you know, as like if you're a plumber.
Your wife just derailed this whole fucking end, right?
As a plumber, if you're in an area where pipes freeze, don't do what everyone else does and take that same infographic that you found online, you paste your logo on it, and you try to act like it's your information, and you push it out through your business page.
Yeah.
Make a video, a selfie video, on your personal page that shows that you actually have a level of care for everybody. Yeah. And here's what you can do to prevent frozen pipes. And give them like three good tips and dispel three myths. In other words,
ooh, dispel three myths. That's good.
Right. That's what gets engagement, right?
Yeah.
In other words, those chintzy little styrofoam covers that cover up the little hydrant tip, those don't do shit. So
if the hose is unhooked and you, so that you can put that on, you've done the work.
Right.
That's enough. Okay. And you don't need the fucking foam on top of it.
Right. And so like, tell people that. Tell people, like, don't waste your $3 on those things. They don't work. And by the time they got your $3 and you realize they don't work, you're too lazy to go back up and get your $3 back.
Well, right? It's used. You can't get your $3 back.
Right.
Unhook your fucking hoses, people.
Right. And so, like, talk about that. Talk about the other real things about, like, leaving your garage door closed because otherwise you'll freeze all the plumbing above your garage.
If you have a two-story, yeah.
If you have a two-story. Or, you know, all of those types of things. Opening your cabinets, letting the faucets trickle, you know, all the things. Give them a video, a visual representation, and now you've just set yourself above all of those other lazy-ass companies that let their marketing agency share some boring-ass factoid that nobody's going to read about how to prevent frozen pipes.
Right? How to prevent forest fires.
Because they want to see you do it. They don't want to see some graphic that you pulled off the internet. They want to see you and your knowledge and your personality and your expertise.
Yeah.
Give them you.
Yeah.
That's what they're there for.
The sense of being fake in ads, like people have caught on to that.
Yeah.
Even on TV. Like, I mean, how many ads now that are on TV, people are like, oh, who gives a fuck?
Right.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
On Facebook, it's like, okay, I know that guy.
And I don't want to act like you could be listening to this and be like, this guy doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. My marketing agency says I need to be doing this.
Fuck your marketing agency.
We did $1.2 million in revenue while spending less than $2,000 a month in marketing. And that is solely attributed to getting really active on social media and learning social media.
Yeah.
So I could have been spending $15,000 a month with a marketing agency, or I could be saving $13,000 a month figuring out social media. And we put our business over the $1 million level just by interacting on social media in a way that social media likes.
Yeah.
Right. You can't force people to watch your factoids. You can't force people to be entertained by things that aren't widely entertaining, right? Engineers want to get deep into the weeds about the metal content in their water heater. Engineers want to get deep into the weeds about the chemical makeup of their water, right?
That's just
normal consumers don't. Normal consumers
don't care.
Like, hey, does your water taste good? No? Cool. Maybe you need a reverse osmosis filter. That's all they need.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they don't care.
They don't need the scientific breakdown water analysis of what you found in a customer's home. Like, if you have to explain what you're talking about, chances are you're going down the wrong path. Like, your content should automatically explain itself, right? In other words, if you have to explain that you need to auger your sewer every year to keep it open, you're going down the wrong path. If you post a picture of the new guy who's covered in somebody's shit from augering their sewer wrong.
I've seen the same videos 50 times. I laugh every time.
Right.
Like I watch them.
Find a way to get the message across without having to explain it.
That's right.
That's the biggest way to win in social media. And so you're doing that on your personal page and your business page, and then you go to your community groups and you offer valuable insight there, and you're going to win all the way around.
Yep.
So if you have any more questions about social media stuff, we cover this in great detail in Tradewinds. That's probably one of the biggest hurdles our newer Tradewinds members have, is coming to us and realizing that, oh crap, I got to get on social media. And we work directly with them. Ray, he's one of our Tradewinds members. He took our advice and ran with it. And now he's making these hilarious videos that are working really well for him.
Ray's like, such a character. If there is someone, and I don't want to like knock down any of the other members of Tradewinds, but if there was like one person I would want to do a podcast, it's probably Ray.
Yeah.
Like he's the biggest
Well, he's character. The most outgoing.
He's the most. He's the biggest character.
Yeah,
and he's not afraid to put himself out there, and that's what makes him great in the social media platform. Let's be honest. He's not afraid to wear that stupid ass Mario costume and walk around town and look like a fucking idiot.
Right.
I wouldn't do that. I'd be like, what are people going to think of me? He gives no fucks.
Right.
And that's what makes his post great.
Right. And most people, like, they don't post on social media because they're afraid of what people will think.
Yeah. That was
my
point.
It's kind of hard for them to have any opinion about you if they don't even know who you are.
That's right.
It's also kind of hard to sell anything to them.
Man, I don't know. I may like Dan being on here too.
Oh, I'd take any of them. I'd take any of them.
I know we
them.
Would take any of them. I'm just but, saying, like, if there's one guy that's not afraid of what anyone gives a fuck about, it's Ray.
Yeah.
Like, he literally gives no fucks.
Right. Right.
And what makes him great?
I had posted, I think it was last week, I posted that the fear of judgment causes more anxiety than the actual judgment itself. Right.
Yeah. Because the deed's done after the judgment comes.
People won't post on social media because they're afraid of what people will think. And that'll drive their anxiety through the roof. Meanwhile, they make their post on social media. They
it's
get
over.
No blowback.
It's over at that time.
Right. They get no blowback. They get no nothing. And meanwhile, a new customer was like, hey, I saw your post. And yeah, can you guys quote me on my water heater? And it's like, oh, wow. The fear of judgment was more damaging than the actual judgment. And let's be honest, if you do make that post and somebody judges you for it, fuck them. You will never be judged by somebody doing less than you. Ever. The only people that will give you shade for anything you're doing are people that are doing less than you.
You meant that you said that backwards.
Oh, I said it backwards. Yeah, You'll never be judged by people doing more than you.
Yeah.
You'll only be judged by people doing less.
Yeah, and you're trying to get to the next level, so fuck them.
And so, like,
I mean, it's that simple.
I have no doubt that there's some guy in Ray's town being like, that fucking Ray, he's an idiot. He's a sellout.
He looks like a dumb fuck.
He looks like an idiot. Well, guess what?
Sellout's probably right. Yeah.
I guess I can guarantee you that Ray is doing more volume of work than anybody that's complaining about what he's doing.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Right?
100%.
And so, you know, that's just ultimately where it is. I got kind of a hate message from a guy that loves to slide into my DMs last night. And
you got a lot of guys sliding into your DMs.
Yeah. When you look this good, you get them from all angles.
That's not what I
mean. Anyway, this guy slides in and he's like wanting to carry on some gossip and everything else. And what did you guys do? And what do you guys say? And blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, look, I don't spend a whole lot of time thinking or talking about people that don't support me and what I do.
Yeah, fuck off.
So whatever they're thinking about or talking about is something they've conjured up in their own head to just bring up old dirt again or something. I don't know. But I've had nothing to do with that. And it's the same thing. You'll only be judged by people doing less, right?
Yeah.
And it's like that iconic photo of Michael Phelps as he's getting ready to win the gold. The guy in second place is looking at Michael Phelps.
Yeah.
And the guy in first, Michael Phelps, is looking at the target.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Winners focus on winning. Losers focus on winners.
Losers focus on the next guy up. Yeah. Right. It's just...
And so you're going to have competitors in your town that are wanting to give you shade about your social media behavior. You're going to have people in your own family that are wanting to give you shade about, boy, he sure posts a lot on social media. He must think a lot of himself. No, he's literally posting what you think. You just don't have the balls to post.
I mean, I will say this, like what you just said. Yeah. You know what? Yeah.
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 Guess what? It pays the bills.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I love
Joe
the
Rogan that... loves talking about what he's thinking and he's making millions doing it. So,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
I love the people that are, well, you know, if I were you, I wouldn't do this. If I were you, I wouldn't do that. You know, you're putting yourself in a bad light. And then I turn around, I look at my house, I look at my fucking bank account, and I'm like,
the chickens.
Right.
Who the fuck am I chickens? That's right. And I'm like, who the fuck are you?
Right.
Like, you are, people let, how do I say this? People let, this is going to sound so dumb. People let people that are less than them dictate their lives. And that just doesn't work.
Right.
Like, what? Why do you care what people that are at a level lower than you dictate your thought process or your feelings or your next moves?
Right.
Stop.
And you're not slighting them for being lower than you. Just recognize that if you're catching shade from anybody, they are lower than you.
Yeah.
And you don't have to throw shade back or anything. You just recognize, okay, I'm catching shade from them. I must be doing better than them. That's a compliment. And then move on. Like walk away from the shade. Don't entertain it. Right. The problem with arguing on the internet is nobody can tell who the idiot is. It's like wrestling with pigs. You both get muddy. Nobody wins. Right.
Yes. Let's just be honest. Like if if Mitch came to me and was like, dude, you should be doing this instead, I would think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, if Keith Gauss, your financial advisor, who was at our last event, great guy, came to me and said, Dave, I think you guys should be doing this with Tradewinds.
Right.
I would think about it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
If, I'm not going to say any names, but if X person from my past came along and was like, hey, I think you should be doing this instead, and this person makes $50K a year and they're doing nothing.
Right.
I don't even think about it.
Right.
Like, don't let those people that are lower than you drag you down. Take those people that are lower than you and bring them up to you.
Right. The other thing is only take advice from people that are where you're wanting to go. Right. So parents love to give their kids advice throughout their whole life. Right. Yeah.
But because if your parents, they should be, right?
If your parents have never
owned... Oh my God, we're going to get into a whole other thing here.
No.
My parents are losers.
No, like if your parents have never owned a business, maybe you don't take business advice from them, right? Now, you can take parenting advice from them because they raised you. Like, they have experienced parenting.
Have you seen me?
Maybe.
No, I wouldn't take that fucking advice either.
I see how you turned out.
But, what are you doing?
But what I'm saying is, like, even if your parents have owned a business, if they haven't owned a home service business and that's what you do, then you need to be limited on what advice you take from them, right? But ultimately, take advice from people that have been where you want to go. That's the advice that you need to take. That's going to get you where you need to be. So many people, like, how many fucking losers out there that it's so fun, like, well, I'll go political here for a second.
We're way past it. Doesn't matter. Just let it go. Well,
like, everyone's loving to pick on this whole unrealized capital gains tax that Kamala Harris is pushing, right?
Yeah, which is only over 100 million.
Right. But the most gripes that are coming out of it are people that rent, that don't even have anything to get capital gains on, right? They and so what I'm saying
open
is
a door here.
Well, I guess what I'm saying
I
is
love
like
you.
Like
I will
if Grant Cardone has an opinion on this unrealized capital gains thing, I'm going to listen to him because that affects him. But if Billy Bob down the street, who's got furniture from Rent-A-Center and he's renting an apartment and he doesn't have a car or he's leased, like he doesn't own anything. Right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to worry about Billy Bob's opinion on the unrealized capital gains tax because he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. And he's nowhere near the level
where it would
even affect him
because he has no money.
Right.
Like he hasn't been successful. Right.
But the problem is people don't have the ability to separate.
People listen to people that they know, especially when they're in. I don't want to say lower income, but when they're in unsuccessful positions, they just listen to people that they know or people that are very slightly above them.
Right.
And they're like, oh, I want to get there.
Right.
People have no perspective sometimes.
Yeah.
Of the situation or the situation that they're talking about.
Well, so there's two types of conversations, right? Let's say I'm at the level where unrealized capital gains may affect me, right? I'm not going to go talk with people that aren't at that level. I will talk with people that are above that level, right? And they're ironically two very similar situations and very similar conversations. I can have a conversation with somebody that's below that level, and they're going to be like, yeah, it's bullshit, shouldn't be happening, blah, blah, blah. We need to do something about it. We gotta win with our vote, right? Meanwhile, the conversation with somebody that's above the level is like, yeah, you're right, it is bullshit, and we should do something about it. However, that takes time, and we're in no control of that. We are in control of our own outcome. So here's what I'm going to do to offset that, and here's what I think you could do to offset that. That's a productive conversation that actually leaves the conversation with possible outcomes and intangible results that you can have versus bitching about something that you can't change and that doesn't even affect you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't want to like pile on here, but like the unrealized gains over 100 million, like people in our situation should be worried about that because it's what's the next step.
Mm-hmm.
The next step's down from there. You know, I don't remember if it was like 1934, 1924. I can't remember, but it was like, it was originally $1 million.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, so all of those things come to task eventually.
They do.
As far as taxes go.
Yeah.
So anything that is more tax on the people, regardless of whether it's billionaires, millionaires, people not making money, minorities, people under 20K,
right.
I always vote no more taxes.
Yeah.
Because regardless of where you're at in stature.
We have an efficiency problem.
The taxes keep coming.
Yeah.
Like, instead of, hey, how about all you politicians, we pay less money because you're just wasting it?
Right.
No, it's we need more.
Yeah.
And where is it going to come from?
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to, so anytime tax talk comes around, if regardless of what party you're on, always vote no. Don't be dumb.
Yeah.
No taxes. And no more taxes.
And locally,
God damn it.
Like if your local city is pushing for a tax bill to fund something, vote no. Make them go back to the drawing board and get more efficient with the dollars.
Yeah.
I guarantee, like
maybe Congress doesn't need Peloton bikes. Maybe your chamber doesn't need free lunches on Sundays.
Right.
It's irregardless of what it is.
Yeah.
We have to hold them accountable for wasteful spending,
yep.
which we don't do. And the only way we can do it is vote no on all taxes, regardless of what they are.
A while ago.
It's a shitty spot to be in.
A while ago, there was this was back when I lived in Green Valley. They were pushing for a school board thing or a school bond. They wanted to build a new school and they needed like $100 million tax bill to do it. And I'm probably flubbing the numbers, but what I do remember is
it's been a long time ago.
Yeah. It was over 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But what I do remember is it got voted down and then it came back on the ballot the very next election. And it was the exact same results for 60% of the money.
And they got it
done. And guess what? It got passed.
They got it done.
And they got it done.
Yeah.
And saved the taxpayers 40%.
Yeah.
All because we said, like, well, the problem is most people are like, but we want good schools, so we'll pay extra. Like, nobody doesn't want good schools.
Have realistic thoughts.
But just be realistic, right?
Yeah.
So it's no different than if you're, like, you know, trying to do a project around the house. You're trying to get it done as financially efficient as possible.
Oh, my God. Don't get me started on that. Do you remember at my house, I have my electrical panel box out there. It's ugly as fuck, you know? So I built a three-sided fence around it and it's cedar, like my brother's porch, right? Do you know what that fucking cedar cost me?
Oh.
$1,000.
Yeah.
When Joe and I built his porch, it was $300.
Yeah.
This is 3 years later.
Yeah. Now, what I needed to do is whoever you bought the cedar from, I needed to go file a Better Business Bureau complaint to them saying that it cost 8 times as much as it should have because you know a guy that got it done cheaper.
If you think that I don't complain all the time, you are fucking mistaken, brother.
I think what I'm here for is whenever Dave gets to the point where he's like 50 and 60, where he has the time and he just goes on the suing spree. Like, I'm just going to tune in.
If you think I haven't thought about it, you're fucking mistaken.
Like, people ask, what kind of old person I'm going to be? I'm going to be a golfer. I'm going to be this. Like, Dave's going to be the sewer. He's like, well, who am I going to sue today?
Yep.
He opens up a book.
What'd you do today? Oh, I had half a pot of coffee and some eggs, and now I'm going to sue every motherfucker there.
Layla comes like, in and be just, like, you know, they got my order wrong in the drive-thru. You're like, what restaurant?
Layla better be out of there.
There we go.
That little girl better be out of there by then.
If you guys have questions about social media,
this is the longest show we've had in a long time.
It is a long show. If you guys have questions about social media, hit us up. You can find us on Facebook. I'm Mitch Smedley with the blue check. David is Hilton
with
David.
The blue check.
Yep.
Hey, I will say this, and I'm going to bring this up on every episode because we never have before. Next event, end of February, 1st of March, is going to be a void. And Tradewinds event.
Yeah, open to the public.
Open to the public.
Yep.
I'm going to mention it on everyone.
Yep.
We're getting the details together, but it's going to be open to everyone.
Yep.
So all of our listeners in New Zealand.
Yeah, plan on.
It's going to be expensive.
Plan on coming to Kansas City in February.
I will say this. If you live in New Zealand and you are going to come, you are free entry because it's going to cost you $1,000 just to fly.
We'll cover your ticket.
We will cover your ticket if you're flying that far out.
But that means you got to buy us a beer whenever we come there and Red Stag Hunt.
Red Stag Hunt. Oh,
so
love it.
If you guys have any questions that you want to email, you can email askmitch@mitchsmedley.com. You can also email mitch@tradewindsconsulting.com, or you can email david@tradewindsconsulting.com. And that's tradewinsconsulting.com. No D. Winning in the trades.
No D. That's what she said.
No D. So until next week, guys, we will see you later.